Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. For there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame.
Thank you, Bruce. You were quite ambitious this morning. If you have your Bibles, let me invite you to open them this morning to the book of Genesis, the first book in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 13. We are looking at portraits of family from the Bible, and we've looked at the early patriarchs. And before we leave them, I want to go back because there's one story there in the early days of Abram that we can't leave behind. It's too important. And it really is not to do with Abram, as he was called in those early days before his name was changed to Abraham, meaning the father of many. But in those early days, there's an incident that occurred with his nephew, who was named Lot. And we want to look at Lot's situation there. And I've entitled this sermon, Safeguarding Your Family. And I know no parent would ever want to put their children in harm's way. And I'm sure Lot did not intentionally place his family in harm's way, but through a series of decisions, in fact, poor decisions, he did, in fact, do that very thing. Read with me, if you will, here in Genesis chapter 13, from verse 5 and following. It says, "Now Lot, who was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, but the land could not support them while they stayed together. For their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And quarreling arose between Abram's herdsmen and the herdsmen of Lot. The Canaanites and Perizzites were also living in that land at that time." These two men, Abram and his nephew Lot, had both become extremely wealthy men. Wealth was counted in those days in terms of how much you had in terms of livestock or flocks. And their flocks had grown extensive. Their herdsmen had begun to quarrel over grazing rights. There wasn't enough pasture land to support these vast herds. And so Abram, being older and wiser, is going to approach Lot with a very magnanimous offer. You know, we're faced throughout life with a series of decisions that have to be made with junctures, the forks in the road. And you can look back now and see some of those if you've lived long enough and know that there are some decisions that probably would have turned out very differently for your life and your family's life had you chosen to take the other road. I hope you've taken right roads at most of those forks, because some of them can create very devastating consequences. Lot was going to be offered a better option than his uncle was going to take. Look what he goes on to say in verse 8. "Abram said to Lot, 'Let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your herdsmen and mine, for we're brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left.' Lot looked up and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt toward Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east. The two men parted company. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain, and he pitched his tent near Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord." You know, Lot made a decision, and it's a natural decision. He was a young man with all these flocks. He saw all that beautiful, green, lush grass down there in the Jordan River Valley. He forgot to take into account that there happened to be the twin cities down there where people were living very immoral lives. He forgot to take into account the consequences that just might have on his own children. But he saw the green grass, and he failed to act selflessly in regard to the generosity of his uncle. He also failed to do the homework that he should have done before he took his family down to that very place. I remember several years ago that we came to this place. In fact, it's been 14 years ago that Vicki and I made our move here, and we've been blessed by our association with this congregation. And our girls were elementary school age then, just moving up. Kelly was just moving into high school, and that was a very vulnerable age for them. And I've told this story here before, but it bears retelling. We were concerned about our girls and their response, and we had interviewed at several churches, and that's always a very troubling time for children. When you're a preacher's kid and you're about to uproot your kids and move them to someplace new. And so we told them, we want you to have an input. And if you're not happy, then we will seriously take that into consideration. We're not going to put you in a place where you are miserable. So we had been some places, and we asked them to just use several criteria. They wanted to know how friendly the other kids were, how their Sunday school teachers were, several things like that. So we just had them grade them. And Vicki and I were a little discouraged because we'd been a couple of places, and the girls said, we don't like that place. We just didn't like that at all. And so we arrived here on a Sunday morning and took them to class, and I preached as a tryout sermon that day. And on the way home, I remember we were between here and Rogersville, and we asked the girls, well, what do you think about this church? And the girl said, we like it. We like the way the kids treated us. We liked our teachers. We just liked this church. We were thrilled because we liked it too. And so we were very gratified a short time later to receive a phone call inviting us to come and be here. But we tried to take our children into consideration. You see, Lot made a mistake with all that green grass. Of all the places he could have set up his tents, he moved right over there beside the city of Sodom. It says he put his tents up right near that city of Sodom, that wicked city. And Lot may have been able himself to resist the bright lights and the wild nights of that ancient Las Vegas, but he failed to account for the attraction that it would be to his wife and to his children. You see, too many Christians have the attitude that they can get just as close as they possibly can to the edge of sinful activity as long as they don't cross that line and it's okay, little realizing the dangers that are inherent with that kind of choice. The story is told about a man who had a mine up on a mountaintop, and it was full of rich ore, and he needed a wagon driver to bring that ore down the treacherous mountain roads into the city down below. And so he was going to hire a wagon driver, and two men applied for the job, and he said, well, let me see you drive. And one of them was experienced in mountain driving. And to demonstrate what a good driver he was, he took the wagon down at a fairly high rate of speed, and he went over close to the edge demonstrating his skill and how he could handle the wagon in dangerous situations. The second fella was not that experienced, and so he started down the mountain, and he went very slowly, and he had his foot on the brake, and he hugged the mountainside and stayed as far away from the edge as he could. Guess who the man hired? He hired the more cautious driver. You know, it's not always smart to show how good you are by how close you can get to the edge. You know, if it hadn't been for Abraham, Lot would have, in fact, lost everything he had much earlier, because here in Genesis we read of an earlier account where he was taken captive, Lot and his family, by some warring kings. And Abraham went to the rescue and saved his nephew Lot and brought him back with all of his possessions. And yet Lot made this decision. We don't see much more about Lot for a few chapters. In fact, he surfaces again over in chapter 19 of Genesis. But by the time we see about him again over here in chapter 19, some changes, some significant changes have taken place. Lot and his wife had decided that those tents just won't do. That's not a proper place to raise a family. So they went into town and they got a good real estate agent, and they found a house in one of the most exclusive areas of Sodom. Beautiful home. They were rich after all. They bought a beautiful home right there in downtown Sodom, and they moved the family into the new house. And that, in spite of the fact that this town was becoming ever more ungodly, ever more wicked. In Genesis chapter 18, we're told that two angels were sent by God to bring judgment upon that very city of Sodom and its neighboring city, Gomorrah. And as the angels came through, they told Abraham what they intended to do, that God was going to totally annihilate those two cities from the face of the earth. God felt about those two cities the way he felt about the entire earth during the days of Noah, when it grieved his heart that he even created man. And so now he has determined to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of their wickedness. And you remember the story, those angels told Abraham that, and it so upset him because his favorite nephew and his family lived right there in the middle of the town. And so Abraham begins to bargain with God. He says, God, please don't do that. Don't destroy the city. If I can find just 50 righteous souls that live in that city, would you be willing to spare it? And God said, of course I would, for 50 righteous souls. And Abraham couldn't find 50. So he went down to 45, and then to 40, and then to 30, and then to 20, and finally to 10. And even at 10, Abram couldn't find 10 righteous souls. He only knew of Lot, his wife, and his two daughters. And so the angels went on their way. They would not be deterred from that mission of judgment upon that wicked city. Read with me, if you will, in chapter 19, the first two verses, about the arrival of these angels there in the city of Sodom. The two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. When he saw them, he got up to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. My lords, he said, please turn aside from your servant's house. Turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet and spend the night and then go on your way early in the morning. No, they answered, we will spend the night in the square. You know, sin is such an enticing, beguiling, attractive thing. Lot had moved his family right into the midst of this wicked city. He had taken a position of responsibility. The fact that he sat at the city gate indicated that he was one of the city elders. He was respected, had become a leader in that city. You know, in the book of Psalms, it chronicles the progression of sin. It says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or finally sit in the seat of mockers. Lot had now taken his seat among the men of that city. To all outward appearances, Lot would have appeared shrewd and successful. He had acted on his opportunities. He had moved swiftly to secure the best land when his uncle had offered him a choice. He had moved out of his tent into a beautiful home in that prosperous town. Now he's a man of prominence, seated at the gate of the city, respected by all. But the truth is very different from appearance. His self-centered course of action was moving he and his family towards destruction. And folks, let me tell you, anytime your decisions are always made in a self-serving way, anytime you're always the priority of your decisions and you don't think about consequences for your family and others, it'll almost always lead to similar destructive situations. Look what happens now. He's invited these two angels to be his house guests. At first, they said, no, we'll just sleep in the town square. Lot knew that that was not a good idea, not in this town. And so he says to them in verse 3 of chapter 19, he insisted so strongly that they did go with him and entered his house. He prepared a meal for them, baking bread without yeast, and they ate. Before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house, and they called to Lot, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them. What a situation. Lot went outside to meet them, and he shut the door behind him and said, no, my friends, don't do this wicked thing. Look, I have two daughters who've never slept with a man. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do with them what you like. But don't do anything to these men, for they have come under the protection of my roof. This is a bizarre verse. Why in the world would any man in his right mind offer his daughters in place of two guests under his roof? It's a strange thing. Some people, the commentators have said Job or Lot just lost his reason in doing this. Others believe that he offered his daughters to this homosexual community knowing that they would reject his daughters. I'm not sure, but one thing is for sure in Scripture, and I want to speak clearly on this, homosexuality is consistently viewed in Scripture as something that is unlawful, something that is a violation of God's will for mankind. In Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 22, God said, do not lie with a man as one lies with a woman. That is detestable. Paul wrote about this particular sin in Romans chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. It says, because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Paul is so plain about this when he writes to the Corinthian church. He says, those who practice the sin of homosexuality will not go to heaven. Now, he rejoices because he says, some of you have left that lifestyle. You've been sanctified. You've been justified. You've been cleansed. And there's always cleansing. There is no sin that is so powerful that it will keep a person out of heaven if they submit their life to God and are cleansed and washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, Lot's response to this group is horrifying. There, on that night, I don't know what would have happened if God had not intervened. Look what happened there in verse 9. These men are out there. They're determined to take these guests by force and rape them. He says, one of the crowd says, get out of our way. And they said, this fellow came here as an alien, speaking of Lot, and now he wants to play the judge. We'll treat you worse than them. And they kept bringing pressure on Lot and moved forward to break down the door. But the men inside, the angels, reached out, pulled Lot back into the house and shut the door. Then they struck the men who were at the door of the house, young and old, with blindness, so that they could not find the door. Now, these two men are anxious to spare Lot from the judgment that's going to fall upon everyone else in the city. So in verse 12 it says, they said to Lot, do you have anyone else here, sons-in-law, sons or daughters or anyone else in the city who belongs to you? Get them out of here, because we are going to destroy this place. The outcry to the Lord against his people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who were pledged to marry his daughters. His daughters had found two fellows there in the town who were prepared to marry them. They were engaged to be married. So Lot warns them. He says, we're going to have to run for our lives. My wife and I, our girls, and we want you boys to come with us. But notice their reaction. There at the last part of verse 14 it says, but his sons-in-law thought he was joking. They just laughed. What a story. This whole town is going to be destroyed by two angels who claim to come from a God in heaven. You see, Lot had even lost his influence with his future sons-in-law. One of the side effects of sin is that it blinds us to reality. These men, these angels had warned them. They had already seen a miracle from God as this whole crowd of men who were trying to break into the house were blinded by God, yet they still wouldn't believe. Jesus would later on refer to this very incident as he was talking about the unexpected arrival of the kingdom of God. He says in Luke 17, it was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking and buying and selling and planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. Even Lot had become blinded to the dangers of sin and the sinners that he lived among. It had begun to erode even his will to do what was right. Had it not been for the mercy of God, Lot would have not even left the city. Look in verse 15 of chapter 19. It says, with the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, hurry! Take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished. When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and his two daughters, and they led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. They had to be dragged away from their beautiful home. All their wonderful possessions and their stylish clothes. They were so loath to leave that the angels in mercy literally had to drag them out of their house into the safety of the hills surrounding those two cities. Now, it's interesting because God's judgment fell the very day as they were leaving the town. They were scarcely outside the city limits when the first bits of fire and brimstone begin to rain from the sky upon those cities. Look in verse 23. It says, by the time Lot reached Zoar, that was just up at the edge of the mountains, the sun had risen over the land. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities, and the entire plain including all the living in the cities and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back and she became a pillar of salt. Some of you have been to this place. I've been there. And I remember that day that we drove down and we left Jerusalem and drove down that windy, torturous mountain road. And long before we ever got down near the location of Sodom and Gomorrah, which is where today the Dead Sea is, long before we got there, we could smell it. The stench of the place lingers today, and it still has that very same smell of sulfur. It smells like rotten eggs. And when you finally come around the curve and you look out over that vast area, it is absolute desolation and waste. There's nothing green to be seen. It is an utter wasteland. The salt incrustations along the shores of the Dead Sea still signal that nothing living can exist within that area. The land that had been so lush and so green, like the Garden of Eden, now is wasted by the judgment of God. And man would never live and cultivate crops there again as long as the earth exists. You know, it's interesting because there are no volcanic peaks in that area. And modern-day scientists who don't believe in God or who don't believe in this account are still scratching their heads trying to figure out what happened. I don't know why Lot's wife defied the very specific instructions that the angels gave them, but the angels told them, don't look back. When you leave, don't look back. Maybe it was one last glimpse at that beautiful home. Maybe it was a longing after that last thought. For whatever reason, she defied the clear commandment of God, and she turned back to her own peril, to the loss of her life. What a sad ending for a family that had such great promise. The grass had looked so green. Now Lot is reduced to nothing save his two daughters. They're in grief and sorrow, having lost their fiancés. Their flocks are gone. Their servants are gone. Their beautiful home is all burned up. Their wealth is gone. His wife is dead. And in verse 30, we find them living in a cave in those mountains that overlooked that valley. You don't think it could get worse? Well, it does. Look in verse 30 of chapter 19. Lot and his two daughters left Zoar and settled in the mountains, for he was afraid to stay in Zoar. He and his two daughters lived in a cave. One day the older daughter said to the younger, our father is old and there's no man around here to lie with us, as is the custom over all the earth. Let us get our father to drink wine and then lie with him and preserve our family line through our father. And each daughter, on two nights, do this. And they get Lot drunk, and they lie with him, and they get pregnant by their own father. And this incestuous relationship with these two daughters gives rise to two nations, the Moabites and the Ammonites. And these two nations become the bitter enemies of the children of Israel. And there'll be constant warfare with these descendants. What a sad legacy. What a sorry state for a family to come to. You know, there's a tremendous lesson in this. And that is simply this. If you are a leader in your family, if you're one of the parents, you may be strong enough to resist some temptation, but those who are near and dear to you may not be that strong. Fathers, when you get that career move opportunity to move up into some great place, think of your family. Check out the community. Find out if there is a strong church in that community to which your family can be part of. Don't take them to places that will endanger their souls. I tell you, there are places that I could not live right here in these United States of America. It'd be too dangerous. Morally, too dangerous. There are Sodoms and Gomorrahs right here today. Evil companions corrupt good morals. You know, God has given us a place of safety. It's called a church. It's God's new society. It's a counterculture that adopts His values in a world that's going in the way of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, it's not just to do things, that we have ministries and activities and fellowships and all the things that we do within this church family. This church is not just an alternative social club. It is a shelter in time of storm. And when we work hard to provide activities and events like Vacation Bible School and little youth group activities and youth group retreats and Bible camps and all these things, it's not just to occupy our time, it's to create a safe environment where our children can grow up safe from all the encroaches of Satan in this world around us. Folks, it's important to be involved. I don't want to see children of this church family brought up on the streets of Sodom. We live in a wicked world, and unless we take advantage of this society that God has provided for us, we'll lose too many of them. This morning, you may not be part of God's great new society, the church. And so we're going to sing a song, and we would offer His invitation to you. We sang about a love that will not let me go, and we saw how God took Lot and his family and led them by the hand. God longs to bring you into that organization of the saved, the church. And if today you've never become part of it, if you're not a baptized believer, we would love to see you take that step of faith today. If you're here and you're struggling in your journey through life, folks, we're going to have to help each other. It's tough in this world. It's tough in this life. And none of us can make it on our own. And we'll pray for you. And we'll pray with you today if you need that. If you need to come, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.